Hello and welcome to the Week 7 preview for the NFL season from 1st and 10. I'm Ollie, once again joined by Dave. Dave, how are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Just looking forward to yet another week. No more London games to look forward to, but it's been good whilst we had it. And once again joined by Ash. Ash, how are you doing, mate?
I'm good, thanks, bud. Not too bad.
That's great. So we'll move on to the first game of the week. Just get straight into it. The Jaguars and the Saints. Trevor Lawrence is currently trending towards starting. Not guaranteed yet. Dave, obviously Trevor Lawrence, significant difference between him and CJ Beathard, who would be the other option. How do you see, if he isn't starting, are the Saints good enough to win that game?
I think they are. I think we've seen from the Jags, they're not the, they haven't been the most consistent team this year. And without Lawrence, a lot of what they have done good has been stuff that he's been very, very much involved with. And obviously he's the quarterback, so you're going to get that a lot. But I think we've seen some inconsistency from a lot of their players, especially on offense. I think they could beat the Saints without him. It'd just be, there'll probably be a lot on ETN and, you know, hoping the defence stepped up. But, I mean, the Saints haven't been great themselves, have they? I think they would have enough because, again, on offence, they've got a lot of weapons. And, you know, that offence is going to be a lot easier to stop without Lawrence in it. But I wouldn't feel confident picking either side on this if Lawrence doesn't play. But, and if he doesn't, especially in New Orleans, you've got to give them a big, big chance of coming at the win if he doesn't go.
Well, that's the thing. If you've not got Lawrence, I guess that offense does become somewhat one-dimensional. Yeah. I don't know how much faith they would put in Beathard. Ash, do you have confidence that CJ Beathard would be able to get them over the line?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, the talk is that they'll rely quite heavily on the run game. So maybe it might be, if I know everyone's struggling at the moment for flex players and running back players, because obviously everyone's on bye week. It wouldn't shock me if you see maybe Bigsby's highest snap count of the season so far. Obviously, they're going to have to rely on him, I think, personally, have that run game go and give Lawrence that ability not to have to stand in the pocket and try and get them downfield, especially early on in the game. So maybe look at the run game being a factor. I can't see, if it does turn into CJ Beathard instead of Lawrence, I think that's a massive, massive downgrade. And obviously you would then maybe say Saints could probably tip the books as favourites for that game. But they're relatively well matched. I think that if they can hold Olave, I think Olave might be the difference with the Saints team. They can't really get Kamara going too much at the moment in regards to yards on the ground. He's a PPR machine, but obviously at the moment he's just catching the ball and getting tackled pretty much on the line of scrimmage. So not really doing a lot with Kamara at the moment. So I think that Olave will be the difference maker if the Saints do it. But if Lawrence can go, then I think the Jags should have enough to be able to push the Saints over there, I think.
So are we all taking the Jags then, Lawrence or Beathard? Dave, are you? Because I am going to go with the Jags and sort of hope that Lawrence does start tonight. Are you taking the Jags as well?
Yeah, I think I would. Yeah. I think they've got enough, even without Lawrence, to sort of get it done. I just have no faith in this Saints team, really. It's more that I don't really like the Saints this year. More than I've got some massive faith in the Beathard-led Jags if that happens. But I'm picking the Jags either way.
That's fair enough. They are a very strong team. Moving on to two other very strong teams, arguably game of the week. We've got the Lions going to the Ravens in Baltimore. Ash, is there a clear favourite for you here? Because they feel like two pretty strong teams.
Yeah, they do. Obviously, We've always known the Ravens really as sort of this run first offense. Obviously, if they try that against the Lions, I think that they're going to come unstuck. I think the Lions rank number one in run stop this season, so they have got a very, very good D at the moment. So it's going to be interesting to see how, if this Todd Monken offense does progress in the way that everyone thought it would do, I think they're going to have to see how it progresses against the Lions, because I think if you try and run against the Lions, I think you're going to struggle. I think that they've given away something ridiculous, like only like 40 yards on the ground per game so far. So I think it's really going to be a game where we need to see Lamar Jackson air it out. If they can do that, they can beat the Lions that way. And obviously, Lions won't have a ground game to rely on currently with so many DMPs. I think Reynolds is on DMP. They reckon, I know Monty's probably definitely out. Gibbs is limited, but they haven't really been using him, and he's not really a pounder, so that they will miss that kind of run game as such. So it will be a really, really interesting game. This is probably the hardest game to call of the week. You could say maybe experience could tell. Maybe if you say the Ravens with the coaching staff, etc., might be able to just get this one over the line. But you could literally flip a coin here, and I wouldn't shock me either way if someone won.
Yeah, it's two very run-heavy teams who seem to have injured all their running backs in doing so. Dave, does that affect the prediction for you? Who have you got here?
I think I'm on record, really, as not really buying into this Ravens team too much. And, you know, I don't really see anything different here. I really do like what the Lions have done so far. I think we spoke on our review podcast on, if we did that Monday, about maybe just Jared Goff is just actually really good. You know, he's playing great. He looks great. You know, he's doing a lot of good stuff. And to me, the Lions just look not a much better team. They just look a level above the Ravens. You know, I have the Ravens in probably that third tier, maybe, where I feel like the Lions are sort of in that second tier of teams. And, you know, beating in Baltimore, I think, obviously makes it tougher for the Lions, but I would still bet the Lions to come away from this with a win.
Yeah, I'm going to take Lions as well here. Very strong offensive line. They just feel like they're functioning better as a unit. Ash, I mean, I know you said you flip a coin and either team could win here. Can we get a pick from you on this one?
I'm going to go the Ravens just. But one thing I will say about the Lions is they've got an OC over there, Ben Johnson, at the moment, that will be the number one candidate for the head coaching job when we turn the corner over for the new season. He is absolutely flying with that Lions team. I think that if the Ravens win the game, which I think they will, I think if the Ravens win the game, it won't be because the Lions offense struggled that much. I still think that they're going to be able to get their points. I still think Goff will do well. They're going to get Laporta involved. Williams will get involved, and they'll use, there's talk as well, watch out for Khalif Raymond on the ground this week. They might use him in a way that they can bring him in as a running back and jet sweeps and things like that. So watch him maybe accountable for part of the run game if they can't go with Craig Reynolds. But I still think that the Ravens might just have enough, and that they've got coming off the Titans win as well. And I just think that they might have enough this week to upset the Lions.
It's interesting. It's definitely going to be a close one. One of the games to watch. Move on to one of the slightly less exciting games, I'm afraid. We've got the Raiders at the Bears. Dave, have you got a particularly strong favourite for this one? Personally, I'm taking the Bears on this one. I keep picking against the Raiders and it seems to just not work, but I'm sticking with it. And I feel like actually the only thing is Tyson Bagent starting. Sorry, that was the one thing that's gone against me. I thought Fields was going to be back. Yeah,
I reckon,
you know,
Aiden O'Connell's the quarterback, though, because they just ruled Garoppolo out. So week 7, Garoppolo is out. So it's the Aiden O'Connell versus the Bagent show.
I mean, that is... I thought it was a bad game already. And that is truly awful, isn't it?
Honestly, it might make it more interesting.
I think it's going to be Jacobs versus Foreman, really, is what the game's going to be at the moment. Or I mean, I don't really know, to be honest. This is going to be a very strange game.
This is the thing. I think Fields has something special that can maybe elevate a team if he's on his game. And that was pretty much the reason why I would be picking the Bears. He's not practicing. Maybe he'll be back. But I feel like Dave, do you agree the Raiders are just sort of a better team? They're not a good team, but they are better than the Bears.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they've just got a few more playmakers. They've got a few more players. I think they've got more incentive to win in a lot of ways as well. I think the Bears, you know, I don't think, obviously, the GM and coach might be fired either way, but, you know, they probably get incentive to win. But, you know, I feel like the Raiders are a team that still want to win, where the Bears, you know, I think the number one pick is probably, if people are being honest about it, is their number one goal this year now. Yeah, the Raiders, I think, are just a better team. But I say this is one I will probably not be paying too much attention to.
This is one of the games that makes me really appreciate Red Zone.
Yeah.
We'll move on to... But just before we move on to the next game, Ash, in the Clash of Titans, Jacobs versus Foreman, who's coming out on top?
I think the Raiders have got enough as a team to be able to do it. And I watched O'Connell play against the Chargers. They lost against us. He wasn't horrendous. He made some critical mistakes, and they kind of benched him for me. If I'm honest, McDaniel hung him out to dry a little bit, which I thought was bang out of order considering he's just a rookie and he had to come in during the game because Ropley went down. But I still think that I think it's going to kind of be a revenge match for Aiden O'Connell. I think that he'll get the coaches back on side, and I think that he'll grind one out against the Bears.
It's going to be a very interesting game. We'll move on to the Browns and Colts. A bit more exciting. Deshaun Watson is back in practice, but he is going to be Gardner Minshew for the Colts. More and more quarterback injuries throughout the league as we go on. Ash, have you got a strong favourite here? Presumably the Browns with Watson back. I mean, they've just beaten the 49ers with PJ Walker starting. So surely Watson back against the Colts is going to be easy.
In theory, it should be, yeah. I mean, Minshew has that sort of he has them weird fluctuating games where he shouldn't do well against teams like Cleveland. I mean, they've got the number one D at the moment in regards to the whole D. Miles Garrett looks like nearly a lock for Defensive Player of the Year at the moment. So I can't really see how the Colts are going to be able to break this Browns D down, considering how the 49ers struggled. That said, the NFL loves to throw up these things where you think this game shouldn't be this close. But the Colts haven't been a bad side, and now they've got Taylor back. It looks like that could be more of a 50-50 split with Moss this week. And they've got weapons like Pittman, etc., that can damage the Browns. But this D, man, it just looks so good. So I think that if the Browns need to, and they can rely on that D to get him out of games. And I think they'll have enough to beat the Colts this week as well.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a sound pick. Dave, are you taking the Browns as well?
Yeah, I don't think the quarterback even matters too much for the Browns. Because to me, it's all about their defense in this game. Gardner Minshew, you know, he is what he is. But, you know, it's probably easier with Miles not being here to just slag him off. But I won't out of respect to Miles. But, yeah, Minshew's not great, is he? And against his defense, he could have an absolutely torrid time. Yeah, I mean, he'll probably throw sort of, 22 passes, complete, 19 of them for about 65 yards, something like that, for, no touchdowns, two interceptions, something like that. I'm going for the Browns. Easy pick for me, this one. I just don't think the Colts will be in this one.
Yeah, easy pick for me, too. I'm going to the Browns. Yeah, not a real tough one, that one. I mean, who knows? Maybe it'll be a massive upset and we'll all be proven wrong, but we'll have to wait and see, I guess. Moving on to the Bills and the Patriots. Potential upset here, Dave? I mean, you know, divisional game in New England at Foxborough?
Nah, I don't see it, really. I mean, the Bills have had some sort of a couple of weird games this year, but unless something happens where like Josh Allen throws like three interceptions or something, I just don't see how New England can win this. You know, maybe, hopefully we can get like a blizzard and get a game like that. When was it? 2 years ago now? When it was about like when we run the ball about 400 times and threw it three times, just keep it out of Mac Jones' hands. I see absolutely no route to winning this one. And it's another game I'll be not be paying attention to for different reasons to that Raiders-Bears game. I'll be trying to just block this one out and hoping for a loss for Patriots. Just don't make me see too much of it because it could get depressing, really, this.
Yeah, I mean, this could be a pretty thorough beating. I am taking the Bills on this one as much as I would, you know, I don't like the Patriots, but it would be quite interesting just to see them throw everything up in the air, beat the Bills here. Ash, just quickly, you taking the Bills as well?
Yeah, 100%. The weather Patriots. I mentioned this on Twitter last week when I was kind of watching the start of that game against the Raiders. They just don't look like the Patriots we used to. When things used to just not go their way, they used to kind of used to get their back up and they used to still play out and the effort was there, etc. They just look really lethargic on that first half last week. I know they pulled back into it a little bit more, but there's just something not quite right in New England at the moment. I think there's obviously the QB's not helping, but there's just something not right in that locker room as well. I think that it's so dejected and so negative at the moment. So there could be changes on the way. I mean, I don't know if that's really the right way to do it, but when's a good time to do it? You're going to have to move on from Belichick in the end. And this might be the fresh start that they all kind of need. And then Belichick could go into either another role as a head coach somewhere else, or he could maybe move up or retire. There's options there, but it kind of feels like it's the end now for the New England team. And I think that the fresh start is what probably they need across the board throughout most of their roster. So I think it's one of them ones where, especially when you're coming up against the Bills, I mean, I don't think they got a hope in hell, really, to be honest.
I think I think the change could start this weekend. I think this might be the end of Mac. You know, Malik Cunningham signed to what, a 3-year deal last week. I know I don't think he's the answer, but I think he might just give a bit more, you know, a little bit of a spark to the team that I just don't think Mac Jones gives anymore. I think people are just so, you know, he looks sort of dejected. You can see it just in the rest of the team following suit on that. I think Cunningham at least might just give, you know, something interesting. Even if he's not great, it might just be a bit, you know, run around a bit. And, you know, sometimes we see it on these bad teams when a quarterback more like that is going to sort of inspire the team a little bit more. And, you know, if that happens, then I wouldn't be massively against it because it probably won't work either and just gets us closer to that number one pick. But I think they've got to make a change just because, I mean, you look at Mac Jones, he just looks finished, really, doesn't he? He's got absolutely no confidence. He's got nothing out there. And, yeah, the team, I just don't see how they don't make a change very, very soon.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it would be harsh to get rid of Belichick when his only quarterback post Tom Brady, really, that they've committed to has been Mac Jones. That would just be my only thing. And I think
the problem with that, though, he makes those choices. You know, he's GM as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But no, I understand. I think you've got to at least give him the offer of, look, we really want to keep you as a head coach, but we want to bring in someone else as general manager.
He won't take
I understand. Has Belichick actually said, like, he won't take that deal? Is that...
I mean, we've seen enough of Belichick over the years to know that won't. I just don't see him ever taking that, you know? Like, I think he's so, set in his ways and so, like, belligerent, I guess. You know, he's going to... I just don't see any way that happens. I just honestly can't see it happening at all.
Fair enough. I mean, that would be my... If I was a Patriots fan, that would be my ideal keeping him as head coach.
Oh, that's my ideal, yeah. I just don't think it happens.
Yeah, fair enough. Just two alpha males going at it, Belichick and Kraft, is clashing with the Bulls. Move on to the Commanders and the Giants. Easy pick for me here. It's absolutely going to be the Commanders. It's absolutely no faith in this team at the moment. I mean, Tyrod Taylor showed he was able to get us into field goal range. Oh, that was very exciting. And to be fair, last play of the game, I've seen a few people claiming it should have been a penalty on Darren Waller for that last play. I don't know. It's just one of those. It's close. I don't think you get those really. But yeah, obviously, I'm hoping that things at least start to look a little bit better. But Daniel Jones is still limited in practice. Saquon Barkley, even though he played last week, is still limited in practice. Andrew Thomas was supposed to be back by now, but he's not. So I don't know if he's just sitting out because he doesn't want to be part of this team. But yeah, it does. Yeah, there's not a lot of positivity right now in the blue half of New York. A Commander's easy pick. Sam Howell's looked all right. And the rest of the Commander's offense as well. Dave, who are you taking?
I think there's more chance of an upset than you do. I mean, defensively, the Commanders haven't been amazing. You know, they're pretty low down, but is it looking more like it's going to be Taylor, though? Is it? I haven't really kept up too much for the Giants news this week. Is it going to be Taylor? Is it looking more like that?
So, this is the thing, is basically they're just unsure. It's what you're not getting one or the other at the moment. It's Jones is back in practice, but he's not full participant yet. And it's very much just, oh, well, we hope Jones will be back, but we can't really say he will be. Obviously, you know, it's a neck injury. You don't really want to take too much of a risk with that, especially at quarterback.
I guess part of the problem is, like, does it actually matter that much? You know, make it too depressing for you, but like, I'm not sure, like, whether it's that big of a deal either way.
Well, seemingly, if you go on Giants Twitter, they will tell you that Tyrod Taylor's an absolute must start for Sunday, which I think tells you a little bit about where we are at as a franchise right now. But yeah, this is the thing. Either doesn't seem great. I think, you know, and that's the only thing, is like, I see as a potential positive, like you said, the Commander's defense hasn't been too great. But at the same time, I'm like, but what does our offense really pose as for a few sort of, you know, half fit, decent players? I'm not very optimistic. Commanders should be winning this, really. Ash, who are you taking?
I'm a little bit more with Dave. I think that I know that it's not going quite well at the moment for the Giants, but they did okay against the Bills. It wasn't pretty, but they kept the Bills to that 14 points. So it wouldn't shock me if this is a upset week. They maybe get pull a few things together, etc. Tyrod Taylor's not horrendous. Like, he's not like one of these QBs that hasn't been there and done it in the league before. So it wouldn't shock me, if I'm honest. It wouldn't shock me that if the Giants that beat the Commanders. Commanders have looked okay. I can see a massive workload for Brian Robinson this week, just because the Giants have been giving up quite a bit against the run. So it's one of them ones where it's not quite the Ravens Lions as a toss up, but I think that the Giants are far closer to the Commanders than maybe you'll get. I think it's that negative thing, being a fan. I'm the same with the Chargers, Dave, probably the same in New England, where you just think when it's not going your way, you just think, they're just not doing anything. But this game could revolve around, if the Giants can get the run game going with Barkley, I don't think it's going to be as a mismatch as you think it is going to be. So if I stick my neck out, I'm going to go Giants by a point.
I mean, that is very brave. I mean, this is the thing. I keep going on this podcast week in, week out, and I keep being told, oh, the Giants aren't as bad as you say they are. We're 1-5, right?
You've had an absolutely brutal schedule.
Yeah, you have.
The schedule must have been the hardest in the league so far.
But also, you would like to see some signs of optimism in that time, okay? I mean, there's just, and the one, and this is the thing, is like, everyone's talking about this Bills game, it was an incredible performance. We were 6-0 up and we just couldn't score a touchdown. Like, that's not a good performance. And don't get me wrong, the Bills defense, you know, is very good, but like, there's no The defense actually turned up for once, but it's the one time where the offense finally can't score. And so it's just, there's no cohesion within this team. And it's just, I don't get me wrong, the defense did play out of their skins, but there's just got to be some kind of complementary football. And I haven't seen that yet. I don't believe it exists in this team. And yeah, everything's a mess. But Brian Daboll might be all right. That is the way. Like, I know I'm contradicting myself there, because in theory, if everything is a mess, head coach should be gone. But I don't know. I just feel like maybe he's made some bad hires. Would be my only thing. I mean, this is the thing. Last season, offensive and defensive coordinator were being talked about for head coaching roles. I don't think they're getting that this offseason. But yeah, that'll be an interesting one to look out for. Moving on to the Falcons at the Bucks. I mean, this is a bit of a weird one, really, because we saw a good start from Baker Mayfield in the Bucks to start the season, and then last week came back off the bye week, pretty poor performance. Falcons have been up and down. Ash, have you got a particular favourite here?
Ridder's not been playing well at the moment at all. And again, like I mentioned this when the Bucks played the Chicago Bears, the Falcons are obviously renowned for running the ball after with Arthur Smith, but they haven't been doing it that well at the moment. I think that Bijan's dynamicness has been getting them out of some certain situations, and they've never really been leading in a game to be able to establish the run. So they've always kind of had to chase the game with Ridder. And then sometimes he's pulled them back and sometimes it's just not worked. But I think the Bucks are a steady enough team to be able to, if the Bucks do go up again, and it goes back onto Ridder, I don't know if Ridder's, like we've noticed it through 6 weeks, really, if he hasn't really got enough to be able to get him over the line in regards to if he's got to play catch up. So I think that coming out of the blocks is going to be really key to this game. If the Falcons can come out of the blocks, establish that run straight away and be able to lean on the run and go up, that I think that they might be able to keep that lead going. And then the Bucks will have to chase, which would be fine for the Bucks because they can rely on Mayfield. But if Mayfield comes out the blocks, goes flying, they're up by two scores, I can't really see the Bucks doing it. So it'd be an interesting one. If I had to stick my neck out, I'm going to say Bucks. I think they just got more talent across the board. Vita Vea, obviously key to everything that happens and on that run defense. And Lavonte Davis still showing that age is not a problem. Absolutely dynamic linebacker still in coverage. So there's still really good attributes there for the Bucks to be able to stop what the Falcons do best. And I don't know if the other way around that maybe works, but I do think that the key to the game is the initial first quarter going into the second quarter. Whichever way the momentum's swinging, I think that it can rely on if the Falcons have to play catch-up, don't have to be able to do it.
Yeah, I think my view on this is going to be a close divisional game, could come down to the wire. And it's weird. It feels weird to say, but I just trust the Falcons more. I feel like the Buccaneers are less consistent. We've just seen more ups and downs from them. The Falcons, whilst they've kind of been in most games, and the defense as well was, you know, looked good at times. The offense has looked okay, even if it's not particularly exciting. They've at least been somewhat productive. Like, they can move the ball down the field. They can score. You know, and that's why I just, you know, I think it's going to be close. And I think in that situation, I do just trust the Falcons slightly more. Dave, who's your pick?
Yeah, I'm going for the Bucks. Similar reasons to Ash, really. I just don't, like what you said, you trust the Falcons. I just don't trust them to not, you know, I just feel like they get in their way so often, like with the play calling, all the different things. Like last week, they actually managed to, you know, find their weapons, but I don't trust that will happen again. I just think, you know, I just don't like the Falcons. And as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I'm just going to auto-pick against the Falcons no matter what. So, you know, it makes it an easier one when it's a bit of a tight game. But, yeah, Bucks for me. But, yeah, I just don't like this Falcons team at all.
You really have got a vendetta against them. I
they should be so exciting. That's my problem with them. They should be such a fun team to watch. and they are an absolute drag. You know, they're so boring. I don't know how a team with them players on it can be boring, but, you know, Arthur Smith's a magician.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, he's certainly made that team disappear. We'll move on to the Cardinals and the Seahawks. Got Josh Dobbs going up against Geno Smith. I mean, it feels like a very strange quarterback matchup, but they're both actually doing all right. Seahawks just coming off a loss to the Bengals. The Cardinals sort of established themselves and where they're at the moment. But at the same time, they have looked a bit feisty. Dave, can you see them getting a win here in Seattle?
They sort of look feisty without really actually, you know, coming away with, well, they're 1-5, aren't they? They sort of, I think they've looked better than some of us thought, but I think you actually look at the games, there's been a lot where they're close in it for a bit and then just fall away. And I think that's probably a similar story to what will happen here. The Seahawks just feel like a much stronger and better team. You know, more weapons. The Seahawks offense has got some really nice players on it. And they've been playing okay, I think, the Seahawks. Not great, but decent enough. And they feel like they'll just have far too much for the Cardinals. I just don't really see the route to the Cardinals winning this. You know, that they got a couple of injuries that are sort of fairly important, and yeah, I just think the Seahawks will just have a bit too much for them here.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty impressive defensive performance from the Seahawks last week. I know the Bengals offense hasn't been too impressive all the way up through the season, but they did look good against the Cardinals. So, you know, it's one of those. It does sort of make you question: are the Bengals fully there yet?
Yeah.
But I guess that's just a question of, you know, does that make you question how strong the Seahawks are?
Yeah, actually? Possibly.
Yeah, I think that at the moment we haven't quite seen this Seattle offense purr like we did last year. Obviously, Geno was flying this early part of last year, and everyone was like, "Oh my god, how well is Geno playing?" Obviously won his award last year, but I can see maybe this is the game. This might be a really nice fixture for Seattle to have now. If they really want to get this offense going, I think this is the kind of game that it could happen in. And I think that Walker on the ground, Geno, a few touchdowns, I can see Seattle getting it together in this game. And we kind of see in the Seattle that we saw last year that everyone got quite excited about with the offense. So I would say Seattle for this one. But Cardinals have been probably a nice surprise. Everyone thought the Cardinals going to be a depressing team, boring team to watch, etc. But they've strung a few wins. They beat Dallas, obviously, and they put a few good performances together. Kyler Murray's now activated the 21 days. They'll probably run that to the 21 days personally. But yeah, I can see Seattle win it.
Now moving on to the Steelers at the Rams. Two teams who maybe not where we expected them to be. Rams are slightly better, Steelers slightly worse. Dave, where do you see these two teams at in this point in the season?
Yeah, I think I said basically every week, I think McVay is maybe doing his best job as a coach so far. I think the Rams, they just look so up for it every week. You know, and now getting Cooper Kupp back, he just looks like his old self. You know, just Stafford to Kupp every time. It just seems to work every time they need to play. Sorry, I'm reading the thing. Kupp will be there. And he'll get, if they need something, they'll just throw it to him. And it's a shame for Puka Nacua that he seems to have sort of dropped away a bit. But I think everyone sort of expected a little bit. But he still were a decent part of this offense. But defensively, I think is where the Rams have been a massive surprise. Because, I mean, you look at the players on it, there's not really anyone sort of too interesting on there. They've got a very weak lineup on paper, and they've sort of done a good job as well. And this Steelers offense is not good is probably an understatement. You know, they've got some decent players, but they're just so uninspiring. You know, they just don't feel like a team that's, you know, if the defense doesn't get it done, I just don't ever feel like this offense is going to. You know, I think I expect a little bit more of a jump from Kenny Pickett. And I know he's sort of been injured and all that, but I just think that he hasn't been any better than he was a year ago, really. And that is, you know, that's not what they're expecting and hoping for, of course. But yeah, I'm picking the Rams here. I don't feel always amazing about picking this Rams team because, you know, they're not, that like when you look at them, they're not the strongest, but they just feel like they're playing as good as they can play right now. And, you know, every week they seem up for it. Every week they seem to be there or thereabouts. And if they can be a playoff team, it'll be a bit of a miracle, I think. But they look like they could well sneak in.
Yeah, I mean, this thing with the Steelers team, it's, I guess if they keep it close, maybe their special teams defense have a chance to win them the game. But, you know, it's certainly not expecting them to come back from a big deficit. Ash, who have you picked for this game?
Yeah, I think I agree with Dave. I think the Rams, I think they'd just be able to get this one over the line. I think it was a good time for the Steelers to have the bye last week. They're kind of in a bit of a mess at the moment, really, especially on offense. Mentioned it on the pod maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. They haven't had a combined 400-yard game since 2020. So you're talking such a long time that this Steelers offense has clicked. So, like, we noticed a lot that Pickett hasn't been really doing it that much through the air. Najee struggling on the ground. Is this the week they're going to get the 400 yards? Because you feel like this Steelers team, although we've known them as a gritty team, they've always been able to, when needed to, put these high-scoring games, like when Ben was there at 18, 19, and even back when he was in his prime, that they used to be able to put these 400, 500-yard games through the air and on the ground, etc. They just don't look like this team anymore. Like, I don't know how they're going to be able to progress it with Pickett. And they do have some players that you could argue that some of these teams that we've been talking about, like the Commanders and like the Giants, the Patriots, like there is teams like the Colts, the Raiders, the Bears, like they probably haven't got as many sort of well-established players and talent, really. You're talking about a first round pick running back. Warren's decent, Muth's decent. You've got Pickett. Then Deontay might be back, but I mean, he's one of the better outrunners in the league. They've got the talent there. It's just, I don't know what's going on. And personally, for me, if I had to put someone to blame, I think Matt Canada is probably the one that I'm most shocked about, that they've given him this much time with this offense and it's just not worked. Defense is still playing lights out. It's still a very good D, but on offense, they're just not the same team. So I just think that if push comes to shove and they get into a dogfight, I think the Rams will be able to do it. I think the Rams have got the ability to be able to pull away and progress as an offense if they need to. And I just can't see that happening with the Steelers at the moment. So, again, even though they're coming off the bye and it was a good time for the Steelers, we'll soon know how well they're coached and how good they are on offense after this week. And if it's more of the same, I do start to worry, not as much as Belichick, but I do start to worry for Tomlin a little bit if they can't quite get this team pushing.
Yeah, it does feel quite weird the Steelers are 3-2. Like that doesn't look right. I mean, they just say it doesn't feel like they've been anywhere near a winning team. But yeah, like I said, I think the Rams they have looked very good. I mean, maybe very good is a bit strong, but much better than we expected. And the exciting team to watch and hopefully score plenty of points against the Steelers defense. We'll move on to the Packers and the Broncos next. I mean, it's not the most eye-catching game, I'll be honest. Jordan Love versus Russell Wilson, anyone? Ash, have you got a strong favourite here?
Not a strong favourite. I mean, the Broncos D's been pretty horrendous. So I'm not really going to say that they're going to be able to hold Love in this Packers offence. I think the key to the Packers this week would be if they get Aaron Jones back. I think that he is so much more of an important cog than maybe everyone thought, maybe a season, 2 seasons ago, especially like what he's been able to put up on the ground game for the amount of time he's been there with Jamal Williams there, etc., and with Dylan. I think that he's far more of an important cog, like I just mentioned, that anyone gives them credit for. So I know they've got some of the players to be able to push the ball downfield with Watson and Dobbs and Jaden Reed, who I really like. But for me, I think that this... Are the Broncos at home? Ollie, do you know?
The Broncos, yes, the Broncos are at home.
I think that might be a big difference. I think that might be a big difference for this team. I think that because of Love being not necessarily a rookie, but kind of feel like his rookie season in some regards, I think that Mile High is a notoriously difficult place to play if you haven't really experienced it before. And I think that might be the edge the Broncos need. They've not been playing well at the moment, but they can do it. I mean, I don't think the defense is going to win in this game. I think Russ will win in this game. So I'm going to say the Broncos. I'm not confident about it, but I think the home field advantage for me is really important in this match. I think if it's in Green Bay, I think that the Jordan Love would have the crowd on his side and be able to get over the hump with a bad Broncos D. But I think the bad Broncos D can overcome this in Mile High because of that crowd. And I think that it might shake the Packers a little bit. But Aaron Jones would be massively important. If he's not playing it, I really think the Packers will struggle. I think it'll be a much closer game if Aaron Jones plays.
It's interesting. Yeah, I mean, Aaron Jones is obviously such a massive part of that offense. Dave, who are you taking for this one?
I think Jones is huge. Like, we've seen Dylan come in and he just, you know, in the past, since he's been there, he's been a really good number two, sort of seems to get done. And now he's had the chance, he just hasn't really stepped up. It feels a lot like Mattison in Minnesota, where you think if he had his chance, he'd be able to be a one, but it just doesn't seem to work for him. And that run game just hasn't really helped. And when, say, like I said, Love isn't a rookie, but he feels like a rookie. And getting that help in the run game really does make a big difference. So I think if Jones is out there, I think they've got a really good chance of going in and winning this. But I think I would take the Broncos in this one, but I wouldn't feel great about it. I just think Russell Wilson's been playing all right. And I think the Broncos are fine on offense. And, you know, the defense... they seem to be clearing some players out, but sometimes that does have a bit of a good effect sometimes, you know, when you get rid of some of these players who maybe aren't all in the team, and, you know, someone who comes through has got something to prove. But the Packers aren't great themselves, you know, on offense in particular. So I would take Russell Wilson and the Broncos getting it done, but yeah, not feeling too confident about it either way.
I mean, this is interesting. I thought I would be in the majority by taking the Packers, but clearly not. I mean, for me, I think it's just we've seen the good and the bad of Jordan Love so far this season, and Broncos defense is a perfect opportunity to see the good. And I think even if Jones doesn't start, as big as he, you know, he is obviously a massive part of the offense. And I think if Jones starts, it's not a question for me. But I think even without him, there is just enough, and the Broncos defense is bad enough that the Packers will get there over the line. Moving on to the Chargers and the Chiefs, big game for you, Ash. Or do you not consider it? I mean, because it's surprising to see the Chargers at 2-3 now. Yeah. Are you still looking at this as a division title game?
I think that this could make or break our season in some respects. I know obviously you're going into the Chiefs and say, well, they haven't really got hope in hell in some regard, because obviously Chiefs will be favourites. I think they're 5.5-point favourites. I just think that they need to bounce back from that Dallas performance, offensively especially, in a big way. And they're going to have to as well, playing against that Chiefs offence. They're just so... I mean, they turn me grey, literally watch them every week. It's like, it's very much like the Vikings. They're always in one score games. It always goes down to the fourth. It always seems to be the last drive of the fourth. And it can really, my blood pressure is just not great watching this team at the moment. They're not using Quentin Johnson the way that I'm hoping that they should. I mean, they took him in the first. he's higher on highish on the snap count, but they're just not throwing his way. Mike Williams was a massive blow when he went down week three. And obviously Eckler's been out for a while, so they're getting him back. So I know that they're struggling a little bit to get things going because of the same problem with the Chargers, is that there's injuries that bring inconsistencies. Herbert didn't have a great game, so hopefully he can bounce back and compete with Mahomes. But at the moment, I just don't have any confidence in a full game that the Chargers can put together in all four quarters. It seems to just be at the moment, and it's been that way for a while, that it's kind of two steps forward, two steps back in some respects, where against the Titans, they put a few drives together, went up, Titans came back into it, then they couldn't get them over the line, Titans beat them. They made a meal of the Raiders game when they really shouldn't have. They should have been way out of sight before. So, and again, they've had opportunities in the third to close that game off when they were down in the red zone twice. Excuse me, down in the red zone twice and only came away with 3 points. Other teams at the moment, they can finish you off, and the Chargers just don't seem to be a team that can finish teams off, especially when they're playing against even the badder teams. They just can't seem to do that. And I just think that I don't know how the Chargers are going to be able to put this together against a team that notoriously they're always in it, and they're notoriously hard to beat at home. So I can't really see. I would take the Chiefs at 5.5 points. It depresses me to say it, but it is how we are at the moment. We're not a consistent team. We haven't quite got it going. Coaching-wise, Staley's, it's looking dangerous for him if he can't kind of put something together. And also, they've built this team to win this year. So it kind of worries me how this team's going to maybe not fall off a cliff, but I'm a little bit worried of how this team's going to kind of swirl around this salary cap problem they have next year. So it's a bit of a worrying time for the Chargers fans, because there's been so much promise over the last, I don't know, 18 months, 24 months with the signings we've had and the big names and the big contracts. It's just not really materialized. So, but hopefully, like I said, touch wood, we can maybe get something out of this game, but I just don't really see it. But it will be a good game to watch. Like, they're not a boring team to watch, the Chargers. They're just great. They're great for the neutral, but not a fan. Not for the fans.
Yeah. I mean, at least your team is great for the neutral. I think the rest of us seem to support teams that are not great for the neutral.
Yeah.
As well. So I mean, it is tough not to take the Chiefs on this one. Even though the Chiefs haven't looked 100% themselves, Dave's there.
I was going to say, they haven't looked themselves at the moment. So, but the Chiefs are still the Chiefs, like with Mahomes, with Kelsey, looks back fit, and the coaching especially, they're just notoriously hard to be at home as well. Notoriously hard to be at home.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair enough. And I will always refer to you on anything AFC West Ash, so absolutely no worries. Dave, is there any concern for you about the Chiefs here?
It's weird with the Chiefs because they feel like they're struggling. They feel like it's not really happening so far. You know, they feel like a team that is very beatable, really. But then, they're second in the league in passing offense. Mahomes has 1,600 yards, 11 touchdowns. The 5 interceptions are maybe not what we expect from him. But, you know, Kelsey hasn't been 100% fit. There's been issues with the wide receivers. But they're still sort of getting the job done. And, you know, I think Pacheco's been sort of decent on the ground. It feels like a Chiefs team that could be beaten, but I just do not have any faith in this Chargers coaching staff in particular. I love Justin Herbert, but, you know, it doesn't fit. Like, I do feel like you get too many times out of him compared to the other quarterbacks you'd maybe, you know, if you're ranking the quarterbacks, he's no doubt, well, top 100% top 10, but, like, you know, I think most people probably have him in the top 5, there or thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
There's absolutely no doubt he's in that class of quarterbacks. But I feel like more than anyone else in that group, he does seem to have these spells where he just looks a bit, you know, he's just a bit nothingy. And like he can't, you know, like, was it 2-3 weeks ago where they just didn't score a single point in the second half and stuff. And that's not all on him. I'm not saying it's all completely his fault, but I think you don't really see so many of them games out of some of these other quarterbacks. But like, I think everyone was so excited by Kellen Moore coming on and how he could change things. But it feels like the same Chargers team that we've seen for some time. I'm not saying there's not slight differences and things like that, but it doesn't feel too different, does it? It doesn't feel any more positive or, you know, different on offense. And say, obviously, Ash has probably got a more in-depth view of that. But to me, from the outside looking in, it doesn't really feel any different than it has. You've got Kellen Moore, who's supposedly one of the best offensive minds in the league. You've got Brandon Staley, who's supposedly one of the best defensive minds. And there's a lot of talent in that on that roster. And on either side of the board, they really look like one of the best teams in the league right now. And that's not great, really, with who, on paper, I think that roster is great. I know there has been some injury issues, but I mean, that's just the Chargers, isn't it? Every year there's some injury issues. It's just how it goes. But I think outside of Keenan Allen, really, no one sort of really jumps out as maybe performing better than you'd think they would. Yeah. And that's I don't know. It feels like the Chargers, the Chiefs should be there for the taking, but the Chargers just don't feel like that team. But, you know, divisional matches, you see some weird things happen. And I don't think if we come to Monday and the Chargers have won it, I don't think it'd be an absolute shocking result, because, say, the Chiefs haven't been amazing. But yeah, I just can't see a way to pick against the Chiefs here, really.
Yeah, there's a few things about this game as well. The Chiefs are coming off a long week. So obviously, they played Thursday to this week. So obviously, they've had more time to prepare. The Chargers played Monday, so they've on a shorter week. And you've got two aspects of this game. Chiefs are one of the best teams on third down completions. Chargers have at the moment, there was a stat that came out from this week that Chargers at the moment on third and 11 or longer, Chargers are letting 65% of that go for the first downs. Like, that is an outrageous stat. If you're getting them to third and longs and they're still making about 65% of these drives to get back onto first and goal. So they're just not finishing off games, and they're just not doing their jobs properly at the moment. And I do, like Dave's put it, I've just got no confidence at the moment in how, and if you look at the talent on the team, like Eric Kendricks, linebacker, you've got Derwin James at the moment, he's really struggling with tackling, giving away a lot of penalties this week, was terrible. Joey Bosa's not looking himself. I know Khalil Mack's been fine, but obviously you're worried about his age and when it's going to happen. Obviously they ploughed a lot of money into this season. It's this season that they are looking to go all the way because of how much money that they've invested in these players. Like, it is worrying at the moment that they can't seem to get it right at a time where really other teams have had long, they've built this roster now for about easily 24, 36 months. And they should be in a situation where they're in a better situation than they were 36 months ago. And they're not. They seem to be in the same situation they were. So, look, I'm just befuddled really with how they're really going to progress as a franchise after this year if they don't turn it around. But this is kind of the game where you think, if you're going to turn it around on the season and you want the confidence in the locker room to change, if you can go to Arrowhead and win, that's a big statement. That could turn the corner for him. But I'm not optimistic.
With the schedule coming up as well, a win here, and all of a sudden you're playing what? It's the Bears, the Jets. I know we play you at some stage this season. The Broncos a couple of times. Broncos, there's a lot of winnable games over that second
winnable
half.
Games. Yeah, we've got winnable games. And like, we haven't played, it's not that we played easy games. I mean, we played Dallas, good team. We played Miami, good team. We've won the other two games against the Raiders and the Vikings, who haven't been playing well. The game that we should have won was against the Titans, and we should have won that game. We were out of sight, and then they pulled back into it on the ground. So it's not like it's one of them ones where I know our record says 2-3, but it's not like we're saying, oh, this team is terrible. And it's not like this team's, it's a lot better than, it's at the moment, they just can't seem to get over the line. And especially in these bigger games where, especially against AFC opponents, they just can't seem to be getting, it's not getting done. So even if they don't win this week, there is still a progression and a line where you can, like you said, Dave, they've got winnable games that they have to start putting it together, but the timeline's running out. So if they don't, if they need to, even if they don't get the result this week, we need to see a performance this week at least to say there's some sort of impetus to go on and kick on and beat the teams that they really should beat in the next 4 or 5 weeks. But if we see another downgrade on the performance, because this week was just shocking against Dallas were there for the taking and we should have done it. But if they play very similar to Dallas, they're going to get their asses handed to them. The Chiefs won't be as forgiving as Dallas were. So you just want to see a better performance really for them to be able to kick on.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, absolutely no need to apologize. Lord knows how much we moan about the Giants and Patriots on this podcast. So it's only fair you get some time to talk about the Chargers.
100%. I talk about the Patriots way too much on there. Every week I go in thinking, right, I'm just going to do like a quick bit on the Patriots. And then I'm just there for like half hour just moaning about Mac Jones and Belichick and all the different problems. So yeah, go in on the Chargers.
And then Brock Purdy gets thrown in out of nowhere and it's all a mess. We'll move on to what looks like a pretty good Sunday night football game, which is surprisingly quite rare. Dolphins at the Eagles, 2-5-1 teams. This feels like two proper contenders. I mean, a potential Super Bowl, I guess, you know.
100%.
Based on current form, I wouldn't necessarily bet against it. Yeah. Dave, you got two very good teams. Can you see one getting clearly ahead of the other?
I don't think either way it's clear. To me, the Eagles feel like the sort of team that if someone's going to stop the Dolphins a bit, it could be them, other than, you know, their issues on the secondary. But, you know, it feels like they're a team that could cause Tua some problems, get to him quick. And I think that's the only way you're really going to stop this Dolphins team. But, you know, we saw the Bills do it. I feel like the Eagles can do a similar sort of thing. But the Dolphins, if they get into the game, they just score so quickly. Like, all of a sudden, it feels like they've got 21 points out of nowhere. Like, they might have been a bit sluggish for a bit. And then, like, all of a sudden, they've scored, like, 3-4 touchdowns in, like, no time. And I sort of want to pick the Eagles in this one. But I just can't pick against this Dolphins team right now. Even in Philadelphia, I think overall the Dolphins are just a slightly better team. And if it wasn't in Philadelphia, I think I'd feel a bit more confident about the Dolphins. But I'm going Dolphins, but not feeling good about it. But this should be like an incredible game. It's got game of the year potential, this one.
Yeah, this is a similar one to the Bills one for me, where I'm really struggling to pick. Yeah. And in the end, I did pick the Bills on that one, and they did win quite comfortably. So I'm going to go with the Eagles. If anything, just to protect myself against the potential hurt of the Eagles being the best team in the league. Because, you know, at least then I'll get the prediction right, and that's something. Ash, have you got the Dolphins here or the Eagles?
It's again, I think it's going to be quite close. I think that obviously if Eagles are at home, that's going to be a massive plus for them. Tua hasn't really faced a team like the Eagles. So that is one way that you think, will he be up for the job? There's a DMP at the moment that's slightly worrying for the Eagles, which is Devonta Smith. So if Devonta Smith doesn't go, that could be catastrophic in some ways, where they're going to have double teaming AJ Brown a lot more. Which then how are the Eagles going to sort of break this Dolphins team down? One way, DeAndre Swift could be the catalyst to be able to get that done. Jalen Hurts hasn't really looked like himself at the moment in all regard, but if they can get AJ Brown going, then anything's possible. I mean, he was still immense against the Jets. But at the moment, there's just a little thing about the Dolphins at the moment where they're kind of riding the hot hand. They are the flash team. And I think that might still be the case. I think the Jets' loss might have scarred the Eagles a little bit. And I think that the Dolphins going in into Philly, being probably one of the most confident teams at the moment in the league in regards to what they're putting up, like the explosiveness of this offense as well. I think it's going to worry the Eagles, and I think that that might just play on the Philly crowd as well, where if the Dolphins can break these, have these breakaway plays and get the crowds quieter, I think they might make the Eagles very nervy like they were against the Jets. I'm going to go, this one goes to overtime. So unfortunate for the UK fans, I think that they might have to stay up a little bit longer for this one, but I can see the Dolphins just winning this one. Just because I think that offensively, especially if Devonta Smith doesn't play, I think that the Dolphins have more than enough to be able to just pip the Eagles, even though being at home is a massive plus for the Eagles.
Yeah, I do think the Eagles have absolutely got something to prove. I mean, it's the first real game against the proper contender. I mean, yeah, look at the teams they've beaten: Patriots, Vikings, Bucks, Commanders, Rams. I mean, there's some okay teams there, but no one of the Dolphins level. And obviously, they've just come off the Jets loss. I think it's going to be a big moment for them to come out and feel like they have to prove themselves, which I feel like in that situation, they normally do.
Yeah,
it's a very good team and it's very hard to pick against them. We'll move on to Monday Night Football. We've got the 49ers and the Vikings. Slightly less appetizing, but I'm sure it could be fun. The Mac Jones equivalent, Brock Purdy. How do you fancy his chances against this Vikings defense, Dave?
I think Purdy should be fine here. Debo might be out, but I'm not sure that sort of tanks his offense at all or anything like that. I like Debo, but I think that's part of the beauty of this 49ers offense. They can sort of move on without a couple of players here and there. You know, they don't just go off a cliff if someone's not around, but McCaffrey would obviously be is a big one, and whether he plays or not is huge. But I just don't really see the Vikings without Jefferson, especially keeping up with this one. They just don't look with Jefferson not there. They feel like a team that's just basically just playing out the rest of the season, playing out the rest of Cousins' contract, and then sort of just waiting to move on. Really, they just don't feel like a team that's going to go on a run to me. They just feel like a bit defeated, really. Like a bit like Ash said about the Patriots, where they just look a bit, I don't even know what the word is, sort of a bit, little bit lost. They're just not quite as extreme as the Patriots, but just everything looks a bit uninspired, really, to me. And I think the 49ers win this one easy, a bit of a bounce back, and I think that'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Niners on this one. I have seen the Christian McCaffrey MRI described as encouraging. I'm not entirely sure what that means. It could be positive. It could be, it's just maybe he was back. But either way, it's one of those, though, after the Browns lost to PJ Walker, Ash, is there any concern that maybe they're a little bit weaker? Obviously, with quite a few big injuries.
If I was the 49ers, I wouldn't rush McCaffrey out there this week. I think that this Vikings D is bad enough. Like, you're not really comparing apples to apples in regards to the Cleveland defense and the Vikings defense. Yeah. They're just polar opposites. So the Vikings, the 49ers struggled against the Cleveland D. The reason is because the Cleveland D is bloody good. Like, that's why they struggled. If you lose that many weapons, McCaffrey goes down, Debo goes down. You haven't game plan for that, so you're trying to do it on the whim. Do you know what I mean? On the fly, during the game, to do that on the fly against one of the best D's in the league is hard. That's why they stumbled against Cleveland. If they had carried on that with all their players fit, I think that they would have beaten the Browns. But to how to adapt with that, I think that you struggle, especially when you play against good D's. I think this is not the case against the Vikings. Like, they've had the week to. They've had a week to prepare for this. They would kind of know, even though they haven't told us, they kind of know if McCaffrey's going to be out there. Looks like Elijah Mitchell's back. He's used to this offense anyway. So even if they have to go with Mitchell and Mason, I think that's going to be enough. And what do the Vikings really have that's going to scare you that much? Like, they nearly lost to the Bears last week. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like, I know they got JJ, they have not got JJ this week, And Addison's playing well. But really, what else have they really got that are going to struggle this 49ers team? Like, I can't really see it being anything other than a 49ers comfortable win. I think it'll be over 10, even though this Minnesota home game, and it's one of the best places to play in the NFL, that stadium. But I still think the 49ers are way good a team to lose to the Vikings. And I think the last week's game was a blip. And the reason it was a blip, because one, they were playing against great D, and two, they had so many injuries during the game, which is hard to try and reconstruct an offense when you've gone into that game with a game plan. So I think that because of the time frame, I think that the 49ers will easily beat the Vikings.
Yeah, I'm going to take the 49ers as well on this one. Yeah, it's just a much stronger team. They just feel like they have a direction they're going in. Vikings really struggling at the moment, and especially without Jefferson, really missing that sort of focal point in that offense. Well, that just about does it for our Week 7 preview. Thank you very much for listening. Before we go, Dave, you got any parting words for us?
Yeah, the end of the Mac Jones era. That's this week. I'm calling it now. We never see him play for the Patriots again. I think this is it.
Well deserved. And Ash, any parting words?
Let's hope for a better play on offense this week from the Chargers. So hopefully we go into Arrowhead and we cause an upset. So it'd be nice to see if that could be the case this week. But I'm not overly optimistic. But let's live in hope. Let's live in hope.
And from myself, let's just hope we see a few less injuries, because there seems to be a lot going around at the moment. Particularly for the Giants, but I mean, hey, as long as they come back healthy at some point, it's not too much of a rush. Let's just rest them for a bit, lads. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you in a bit.